Welcome back to Downloadable Content. We are SJ
and Alex Herschel. Have you gone back to play Tears of the Kingdom after you beat it? Let's find out. Herschel. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. You?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Do you know what a bidet is?
I do know what a bidet is.
Have you used one before?
I have not. In fact, I've had many an opportunity to do so, and I have declined it every single time.
I understand.
But you disagree. I know you disagree.
Yeah, hear me out. This is going to get a little gross, but if any of you have the chance to use a bidet, I would highly recommend it. Have you ever had a bad time going number two, right? And then it's uncomfortable, kind of burns for like the rest of the day. You know what I'm talking about.
Kind of. Anyway, keep going.
You all know what I'm talking about, right? Like if you ate something bad,
sure.
You ate some Chipotle or something, not sponsored, and...
Yet.
And you have a bad time in the bathroom, okay? No matter how much you wipe, there will always be a little residue. Right?
Okay, just get to the point. Get to the point, man.
So, it hurts and it's uncomfortable. But if you have a bidet, it just washes that. It just rinses all of that off. And then you wipe just the remaining water off of yourself. You know, you just wipe that off. No discomfort. Super clean. Wow, she's excited.
How does your wife feel about this?
Oh, she loves it. In fact...
Are you putting one in?
In fact, she has been demanding that we get a bidet ever since we got back from Japan.
Where are you going to put it?
And I went to Amazon, and there are many options. I found many... and I bought one of them where you take off the toilet seat, including the lid. You put the bidet thing on. So it's like a flat thing and it sits under. And then you screw on the toilet seat. And then the little control dial knob thing is off to the side.
It's just like an attachment thing. Okay.
That's what we did. And
is it on yet?
It was on last night. But there were two occasions when it started leaking. And it was not... an issue with my plumbing work. It was actually the device itself. It was I was getting some leaking from inside of the plastic, so it wasn't where I connect the hose or anything. So this morning I dropped it off, returned it to Amazon. I bought a different one, but this one it's like three times as expensive, but it's like the entire seat. So like the hose thing, you know, the little sprayer is embedded into the seat, so it's like a whole seat replacement or seat cover replacement.
I'm
not replacing
the
toilet, but like the seat and the lid, it's all integrated. And I'm really excited because that new one comes in the mail today. My wife is excited for it. It's gonna be a good time. So when we get that installed and you come here next time to record, I hope you have to go number two.
I really hope I don't. I try not to do that at other people's homes because I feel bad.
I understand. But you know we have a guest book for that.
I know you do. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I don't want to add myself to that list. It's good people on that list. Don't get me wrong. I just don't. I feel bad doing that in other people's homes.
That's okay.
But anyway. You're like giving permission for the sake of... trying out this bidet. So.
Yeah, I just want you to see the light.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. I have not been thinking about bidets, but it's been a good little bit stressful, but you know how it is.
Yep. Any new gaming stuff?
Still working through Final Fantasy VII Remake. I just completed Chapter 16 last night because of some other stuff going on. It'd been the first time that I'd played in about 2 weeks. But I've just got those two chapters. we are recording our Game of the Year episode in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 2 weeks to finish it. It should be like somewhere between 5 to 7 hours. So I should hopefully be able to get it done. But yeah, you'll hear all about that during the actual Game of the Year episode and hopefully a full-on review / interview episode at some point.
Could you keep our audience entertained for a moment while I get the bird?
Of course. So he's not going crazy. Of course. Of course. While he's doing that, I will just share one thing about the game. Overall, I have loved playing through Final Fantasy VII Remake. As I've mentioned, it's my first time playing through the game. I just have one small issue. The fake loading screens are starting to become tedious. And what I mean by that is there are moments where you have to step on this tile on the ground, and then your character starts to move in a different way, whether it's like walking across a beam over a gap, or like the environment's a little bit intense, so they're like bracing themselves at the wind. There's lots of these moments throughout the game, and it's getting to the point where it's becoming so frequent that it's starting to detract from my experience a little bit. But overall, I've enjoyed the game a ton, and I'll go more into that at a later day. But if you've had the same experience, let us know. You can reach out to us via our email, via our Discord. Ooh, hello, Moroni. Or through email. Also on our Patreon. If you want to check out our Patreon, all that stuff will be in the episode description. But let's move on to questions of the day, shall we?
Can I do one quick?
Of course, of course.
Oh,
you're right. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
I took your bidet update as the update and forgot that there was a gaming specific update. That is a
significant update.
Oh, it's very important.
So, one of our listeners, Big Bear, bought me a game and sent it to me on Steam as a gift.
Oh.
He bought me Titanfall 2.
Dude, I have heard so many good things.
So I started playing it. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going through the campaign,
mm-hmm.
and so far so good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we might be playing later today, I think, after we're done recording, if there's some time. But I will keep you all posted on that. If any of you play Titanfall 2, please let me know.
Yeah, I know the when the game came out, it was like really well received, but like the release window was kind of poorly decided, so like it didn't sell very well, and that's why there hasn't been another one. But I don't think I've heard anyone be like, "Oh, this isn't a good shooter." Like everyone loves that game it's and how it plays. Shooter.
Well, and I've heard that they've done like recent updates or something to it that really like revitalize the player count online and stuff. So but I've been told to play through the campaign because it's really good, and then jump into multiplayer. So anyway, that's that.
Yeah, not expecting that, but that's actually it's a good pick.
Yeah,
good pick. Good job, Big Bear. Alrighty, we have three questions. Wait, I'm pretty sure it's only three. There might actually be a fourth. Okay,
let me check Discord real quick.
Yeah, I just can't remember if I recorded it in our sheet. Just so you guys know, we're putting a lot of work into making sure that
yeah, we got spreadsheets
these questions
going
get answered. And tracking when it's asked, who asks it, all this stuff. Okay, so I think it's only the three. Like I've got...
Is that the last one you got?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, first question today comes from user Qualthorn. He asks, what was the last game you played before your mission? Before you had to take a 2-year break from gaming, what was the last game you played?
I know what yours is.
Do you?
Wind Waker.
No.
Did you play...
I played Breath of the Wild. I completed my second playthrough of that, and I finished it the day before I got set apart. I... 100%. Well, my first playthrough, I didn't do everything. My second playthrough, all the shrines, most of the armor, the DLCs, everything, and finished the last part of the Master Trials, like, literally, like, a few hours before my stake precedent came
That's
over to...
That's pretty impressive. Set me apart. I'm sure you've told me that. I've probably forgotten.
Maybe. But what was yours?
So, let's see. I left beginning of 2013, so I need to think of what games are out then.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
10 years.
That's wild.
That is nuts.
Over 10 years ago. It's been that long. I don't know if I'm being totally honest. I may have been playing Skyrim. It might have been Skyrim. Because Skyrim came out 2011. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy the game on release. I bought the game after my good friend Ricky strongly recommended me to get it. I caved in and bought it, and then ended up buying it on 4 different systems after that.
You had it on...
That would be my guess. I first had it on PS3, and then I got it on the Xbox One, and then I got it on...
The Switch, or do you not have the Switch version?
I did get it on the Switch, and then I bought it on Steam, the VR version.
With the VR, yep. So.
Probably Skyrim.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Our next question comes from user Zaruma. He says, what's your most irrational fear?
Mine, if we're talking like living things, like creatures that we're afraid of, mine would probably be like bees and wasps. I've overcome like most bees to some extent. It's just like that buzzing noise like really freaks me out. So... Wasps still freak me out. I can kind of get panicky when they get close. I've never been like stung or anything, but the thought of getting stung just freaks me out. Other than that, like if we're talking like real life stuff that I think about like constantly, it's like something going wrong with the house. Basement flooding, infestation. You know.
Yeah. It's hard for me. I don't feel like a lot of my fears are irrational. Like, I feel very justified in all of my fears.
And my house fears, those are totally justified.
Oh, right. Like if that happens, that sucks. Yeah. Like, it's... Yeah.
Right.
But if I have to be, like, completely irrational, I would say it's how protective I get around babies when they're, like, by corners. What I mean by that is, like, babies, like, fall. Babies get hurt, right? That happens. But if they're, like, approaching, like, a corner of, like, a table or something, like, I have to put my hand, like, over the corner. That way, if the baby hits it, it's just hitting my skin rather than, like, a corner of wood. Like, it freaks me out. It makes me so uncomfortable. And, like, I didn't have to deal with that for a while, but... Now, just because of stuff going on, I'm around babies again. And like every single time I see a baby near a corner, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. But
that's totally valid. Yeah. You know how they have those like squishy foam things you can put on the corner? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are amazing.
Exactly. And our last question for today, well, our second to last question, I'm actually going to pop one on you.
Okay.
This comes from Qualthorn. We have, what was the first game that was your very own?
It would have been Game Boy Color. Game Boy Color was my first system I had. I don't know exactly what game, but I'm sure it must have been Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad could probably tell you, but I'm not 100% sure. Do you know?
Mine's Pokemon Pearl. Okay. Because I have an older brother, and so when we got games, I mean, maybe he thought they were his. That's possible. But I always looked at it as like, yeah, like this is a game that we both can play. Like we don't have to ask for permission from one or the other to play it. And like even if it was gifted to one of us, like that tended to be how it was. But Pokemon was that thing where he had his own copyright. He had Diamond, so it was like, well, no one else is playing this. This was mine. And I think even to this day, no one else played my cartridge of Pearl except me. Yeah.
Pokemon's a good one to start on. Mine would have been, I had Silver.
Silver.
Yeah, I had Silver. Or was it Gold? And my dad had the other one. Mm. I remember that.
Really? I would have thought it would have been Gen 3.
Gen 3 is on the GBA.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. And I'm actually going to pop a question on you. Just because Mario Wonder has come out and neither of us have played it yet, but I want to give the listeners a little bit of Mario content to kind of satiate your appetites.
And I've watched gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, considering how many playable characters there are in Mario Wonder, let's take a look at the characters from the Mario universe. Who is your favorite?
I have two favorites. Mm-hmm. And I can never pick one or the other. It kind of depends on what game it is. Mm-hmm. And I have different reasons for liking both of them. Mm-hmm. So they're never like better than the other. Yoshi?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he is the most adorable creature that Nintendo has ever created. Mm-hmm. And I love him. Mm-hmm. I love how his nose is so freakishly huge to the point that it literally covers his eyes. So if you think about his like POV, like, he should not be able to see in front of him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he does. Or he'd have to do this all the time. So that's one. The other one is Rosalina, because I remember playing through Mario Galaxy for the first time and hearing her, like, the story telling time. I love that so much. Her backstory is, like, really, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, she's, like, the only Mario character, like, one of the main characters that actually has, like, lore built around that character, and that just makes me more attached.
Nice.
How about you?
I really like Toad, mainly because not because of anything that he does, but because of what other people in the world do with him. There are just so many funny like Toad videos on YouTube of him like singing a song, and the Toad voice is just so iconic. And also, since me and my wife have been playing through Mario 3D World, there are like those little Captain Toad levels, and I actually love them. Like, there's this little Toad walking around, and because she plays as player one, I play as player two, so my Toad, my Captain Toad, is blue and has like these like really round eyeglasses on. And I don't know, I just love playing as him. Also, it's funny that when Toad goes from like his normal size to shrunk down after he gets hit, the colors on his head flip.
Really?
Like if he's got
red,
white and red,
yeah,
the spots become white and the rest of his head becomes red.
I didn't know that. Have you ever played Captain Toad Treasure or whatever?
I've not.
I've only heard good things about it.
If it was a $10 game, I'd pick it up. But Nintendo sells it for a bit higher, and it's not worth that much.
There's too many other interesting games.
Exactly.
To worry about it.
I mean, yeah. I've got a list of five that are my next goal, or the next games that I... No, that's not even fair to say. Not even the next games I'm going to play, because I have four or five games on hand that I have that I haven't played yet, but I know the next five that I want to buy, and it's just, I've got so much to do. I want to play through both of the Jedi games. I want to play through both the Horizon games, and I want to play through Returnal.
Oh, those are all masterpieces, right?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
So anyway, shall we
now to our main topic? Should I just get started?
Yeah, so I mean, you have mentioned that you beat Tears of the Kingdom and you beat Ganondorf, and you left quite a bit of content undiscovered, just so you could get through the story so we could discuss the game. But you haven't gone back to it.
So my main reason for like just trying to get through the game was so that we could talk about it here. The issue, well, I don't have any issues with the game. I love the game. The ending was absolutely beautiful. I think it's just that there are, well, let me back up a little bit. So, like, I'm trying to explain why I haven't gone back to play it. Because after I beat the final boss, I have not played the game at all. One, there's a lot of other games I want to play. But you could say that about any game ever, because there's always good games coming out. And the main thing for me is, so like, you know that I'm very gameplay driven.
Mm-hmm.
I love story, as you can tell by our
dog
last episode. Oh my
goodness. Can you please stop eating my hair?
No. Come here. Maybe I need to put you away if you keep doing that. I'm very gameplay driven. And the gameplay of Tears of the Kingdom, although you can do a lot of different things with your magic hand, the core combat is exactly the same as Breath of the Wild. And I have played a lot of Breath of the Wild. I put about 230 hours into the game on Switch. I modded it and replayed it again on my PC a few months before Tears of the Kingdom came out. Tell me if she's bugging you. And that was about 70 hours or something. So I am kind of burnt out on the cycle of Flurry Rush to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of different enemies in that game. So, like, that keeps things fresh. But it looks the same. It feels the same. Do you know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah. No, I get you.
Here, while you respond, I'm going to put her away.
I don't know. All right. Thanks for chatting with us, Moroni. It's been good to have you back since, you know, we put you in the logo and everything. And
yeah,
then
she's
you just
so just
stopped.
Needy for attention, didn't
you? That is very interesting to me, because one day we will do an episode about if we were given full creative and monetary control over the Zelda franchise, what would we make in a Zelda game? Right? I told you about this plan. Remember this?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned it to the listeners before, but... And combat is something that I want to address in my own game. However, I will say that it is interesting to hear that, just because of, like, I felt like the doors to the kingdom, the gates to the kingdom were opened with this game. Like, I felt like I had so many options on what I could do, way more than I had in the first game, just because, hey, you have something in your inventory you just want to throw at them,
right?
Go for it. And there's right. so many different ways that can go, but I'm also like, it doesn't come out of nowhere. Like, yeah, like your actual weapon use, like, yeah, it's the same. The difference is in how you modify those weapons, but that's not changing the mechanics. Like, the core mechanic of what you're doing doesn't... It's not very different. So I can see where you're coming from.
And I think I'm a weird person in that I don't like using a lot of consumables. So, like, for example, my arrows in Tears of the Kingdom, $9.99 maxed out.
I don't think I ever passed, like, 120. I was using arrows all the time, man.
And then it was actually, because I'm always like, oh, I want to save the arrows. Oh, I want to save that, you know, for the right moment. And then I beat the game without ever seeing that right moment, you know. That's one of my weaknesses, is that I need to be more liberal in just using stuff. I want to save it all up. And once I reached 999, I was like, okay, I need to use more arrows. And then I started just, you know, bolt time headshotting everything, which is fun. But, like, I like the core. So there's other things you can do, right? You can build like Zonai devices and stuff to like destroy things. And that's all fun. But like, that isn't as like a totally, it's in a totally different category of gameplay in my mind from like what Link does with a spear or a heavy weapon or a sword and shield. And that core gameplay, I wish had elevated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I still think Tears of the Kingdom is like a 10 out of 10 game.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally to play it more,
mm-hmm.
I needed more in that main fighting mechanic.
I have two questions. First off, do you know how much time, what your game clock was at in this game?
I don't, but if there's something you want to talk about, I could check on my Switch real quick.
Well, my next question is just, you know, with that desire for it to be elevated, like one thing that I'm pretty sure hoped,
it's under 100.
Okay, so yeah, answers. So even still, right, yeah. Over 100 hours in a game, right? Like,
oh, under. That's under.
Okay, but still.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't just breeze through the game, right? It's a long game, no matter
right.
what you're doing.
Right, right, right.
Like, one thing that I had hoped for was just an additional weapon type. Something that was different. And I didn't know exactly what I meant.
I totally with that, agree.
But, like, with that and potential other things, what would you have done to elevate the combat to a way where, you know, it was still feasible for what Tears of the Kingdom was going to be, but would have been a bit more in line with something that would have kept you coming back?
Let us dual wield weapons.
Dude, I want, yeah.
Okay, heavy weapons, I get it. You can't dual wield. But let Link dual wield swords. It would be like a high risk, high reward thing, high damage output, but your weapons might deteriorate a little quicker,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you can't really defend yourself. You can't block or anything. You got to be able to dodge everything. I think that'd be super fun.
But can you imagine doing that with your barbarian armor, and you're just going in complete gosh. Attack
that would be
menace?
So sick.
No, I mean, and sorry not to cut you off, but giving you a little sneak peek into my dream Zelda game, and I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I think you can do a heavy-handed weapon with a weapon in your other hand still.
Okay.
Right? Like, look at like the From Software games, right? Like in Dark Souls or in Bloodborne, you can wield weapons in both hands. And if you have heavy weapons, then like your attack movement is super slow.
Right.
So you're trading off that extra power for you know, dodging ability or movement and stuff. But I think there was a way where dual wielding weapons, you could have any of those types and just the different combinations you'd have. And you have
exactly
a sword in your dominant hand and a spear in your less dominant hand. And if you switch which hands,
it
those
changes
weapons are
how
in.
Link interacts with mm-hmm. the weapons. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That alone would, I think, be enough for me.
Now, I will say, granted, like, if they do that, they don't have like the development time to do the depths
yes.
or do the sky islands, right? Like,
things.
It'd have to be
that.
The very same. Yeah. But, like,
but we're just talking about ideals.
No,
right?
No, I know, right? And, so, like, with that, I mean, the game's already so replayable, but you add that in, you have completely different ways
yeah.
to go about it.
That would have done it for me. And I even actually tried to go back and play Tears of the Kingdom after I beat it, because it was like before I bought near Automata. I was like, you know, I might want to go back and like get more shrines and explore the depths and get some armor and stuff. And I went in there and I did a little exploration and things, but then I just, it's like, no, I think I'm okay. Like, I'm satisfied with how much I've played this game. But I wouldn't have felt satisfied had the gameplay felt more different, or had I not played Tears of the Kingdom. I guarantee I would have put over 200 hours into Tears of the Kingdom. So, I don't know. I'm not, like, dogging on the game or anything. Like I said, I still think it's 10 out of 10. But me personally, that's why I haven't gone back to play it.
Interesting.
Yeah. How far did you get? Did you get all the shrines?
All the shrines. All the light routes. Every sky island visited. I didn't do all the Koroks. And I didn't get every single armor set. But I mean, 150 hours.
That's a lot.
I put a good chunk of time into it, and yeah, man.
I was just trying to think, what if they had changed like the art style? But that really wouldn't have worked because they had to kind of build it from the foundation of Breath of the Wild, right? And because like having a different look can make things feel really, really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Wind Waker.
It's why every Zelda game feels different. Because honestly, every Zelda game you're playing pretty much the same game, right? You do the same things. Your dungeons are different.
Right.
But overall, you play the same game every time. But art style, and they just make these minor changes to keep it fresh enough. But if every game looked like Twilight Princess, mm-hmm. right, all the Zelda games look like Twilight Princess, they're not gonna feel nearly as different from each other,
right?
Like it's a defining difference.
That actually reminds me, did you know that Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are built on the exact same engine
that they're using now?
No,
Wind Waker and
games.
Twilight Princess,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They just changed the art style or whatever. It's built on the same engine. I found that out when I was watching some YouTube videos last week. Pretty crazy, right?
That's actually nuts because they feel very different.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I wonder if I had played Twilight Princess on the GameCube or even on the Wii U, if I'd be able to feel that a little bit more. Because I played, you know, Wind Waker on a controller.
Yeah.
Twilight Princess with my little Wiimote, but
I played both on GameCube, and after hearing that, it kind of makes sense to me. Like the gameplay, how Link moves and interacts with the world, if they feel pretty similar.
Interesting.
Like you both have the, you know, over the head jump attacks and the spin attacks, mm-hmm. and you just don't really think that they're similar at all because they look so drastically different. But
yeah. Okay. So is combat like your main thing? Is there anything else that kept you from going back?
No.
It didn't feel too similar as far as the world you were exploring or anything?
No, I didn't have any issue with the world or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still the same Hyrule, but you've got caves and the depths and the skies. And in fact, the story really was what kept me going, kept mm-hmm. me interested, you know, as I was playing. And it's that sense of like constant progression
mm-hmm.
that basically kept me blinded from the fact that, well, the core combat is exactly the same as Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. So it didn't bother me at all. And it's not really a bother, but and then once I finish the game and once the climax is over, you know, everything is settled, I was like, okay, I'm satisfied. Oh, yeah. So,
see, and like, for me, I've actually heard that complaint a bit, right? That the world's just the same. And I'm going to say something that might be a little bit bold. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. It is. It's wrong. And let me tell you why. First off, when Tears of the Kingdom gets announced, why do we know this? It's because, I don't want to butcher his name, but our producer, Aonuma?
Aonuma, yeah.
Okay. He says, hey, we've got more stories to tell in this world. Okay, and people were like, oh, well, the DLC came out. That's what he meant. How do we know that's what he meant? That's not what he meant. He meant this game, okay? Second, when you look at the four villages, or the four main races, right? You've got your Gerudo, your Ito, your Goron, and your Zoras. Those towns are the same. But Hateno Village is different. Tarrytown is different. Lurelin Village is different. All those little outposts, lookout landing, all your towers are different. There is so much different. That's not even accounting for the entire bottom floor of the game that they constructed from the mm-hmm. ground up mm-hmm. and the sky islands they added and the caves. So no, it is different. It is a very, very different world that you're exploring. I did not for a second in that game be like, oh, I've seen this before. Even in those villages that are the same, right? Like, they don't change how Gerudo Town looks. The story that happens there is so different that yeah. I was not like, no, this is just the same thing. It felt fresh to me in the world that I was exploring anywhere I went. Anywhere.
No, I agree. I think a lot of people like might think that they think the world is different, but what they really mean is that it's a similar looking video game because it's the exact same art style. I'm not trying to put like words in anybody's mouth, but I think when you think about it objectively, I think that's the core issue when people are saying, oh, this is so much like Breath of the Wild. And that actually reminds me, there's something else that really bothers me about Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I need more explained what happened between Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like, why in the world are the Sheikah Towers just, like, gone? Where are all the shrines? Like, what happened to all of that? Like, we get no explanation, and then, you know, these, like, the Zonai shrines are just erected out of nowhere, which is fine, but, like, I need more of an explanation for... Because it's not a huge amount of time that's elapsed since Breath of the Wild. It's not, like... hundreds of years or anything. No, it's not at all. It's
a few years, but... Yeah, it's not.
Because Zelda and Link are... I mean, they're pretty much the same age, maybe a couple years older, but...
Yeah.
So, that bothered me. I was hoping to get more of a lore explanation on that, like, by the end of the game, but mm-hmm. we got nothing. Yeah. And why is Cass gone? We know that that's, like, an intentional decision, because I think they even, like, bring up Cass. Uh-huh,
they do.
Right? Like, in mm-hmm. the game, so, like... They know that they left out Cass. Well, that's not something that bothers me because it's kind of like mysterious and it makes you wonder like, oh, why is he gone? But what happened to all the towers and stuff? I don't know.
Like one thing that I was hoping for, and I know that DLC has been confirmed to not be happening.
Yes.
For this game.
It's not.
And one theory that I saw floating around when I was playing through it was, oh, like it's going to play a role in the DLC just like he did in the last one, right? With the Ballad of the Champions, like Cass is one of those characters that you talk to trigger those mm-hmm. quests. And I was hoping that would happen. But I like our little pelican guy that we have instead from the newspaper.
Yeah, he's cool.
I like him. I just like him. I love that. Okay, there's one other thing I want to bring up just because I don't know. It has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. It's about Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
But I don't know what Tears of the Kingdom episode we would bring it up in instead. You went to Tarrytown, yeah? Yeah, I know. The buzzing. Sorry, guys.
No, keep going. I'll try to
finish. So you know Tarrytown.
Uh-huh.
You went there, right?
Yeah, I didn't do all the quests. There's some wild things happening over there.
Did you build yourself a house?
No, dude. I haven't done that. Dude. I know. I've seen it. It looks so cool.
Let me tell you about my house, okay? So, before you even go in the house, I got a stable for my horse, Balake 2, because I named my horse from the first game Balake. He was all black, and I named him Balake.
And you can have a stable at your house?
Uh-huh. You can have, well, not a full-on stable. You can, like, have it so that one horse is boarded at your house.
And you can pick which.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. I've got a little fish pond out in the front with some fish swimming in it.
Of course you do.
Of course. Fish. You walk in the house, and there's a big living area with a cooking pot in the middle. Okay. I've got two rooms on the side. One of them is like an art gallery room that I took a picture with the Sheikah slate overlooking the ocean in Lurlin Village as the sun was going down. And when you have like this room, the guy that helps you build your house will recreate any picture from your Sheikah slate on this canvas. And so I had him do this. So I've got this beautiful picture of this sunset down in South Hyrule.
Dude, I didn't even know that was a thing you could do in the game.
Dude, it's nuts. And then in the back, you've got your stairs. And you go up to the second floor. Now I've got rooms that you walk through, which are my weapon rooms. So I've got a room that houses the coolest swords that I got from the game, the coolest bows that I got from the game, and the coolest shield. That's where my Hylian shield is sitting up. I didn't use it because I didn't want it to break. I know you can get other ones, but I didn't want to go through it. Okay. And then you go to my bedroom, and then you can go outside onto the roof where I've got a rooftop garden.
Wow.
It is stunning, dude. It took me so long to figure out because, like, the rooms that you have, you're pretty limited. Like, you can't just be like, okay, put a door on this wall. Like, they just have openings that you have to connect to rooms and keep them closed and stuff.
And, okay.
And so it's a little... In fact, I actually don't think that you can go out to the garden from inside the house. I think I have a staircase on the outside that leads to the roof that you have to go up if you want to go up there. But like, finding that perfect balance of having the rooms that I wanted, because you can only have a certain number, having the exact combo of rooms that I wanted in a way that looks appealing from the inside and the outside. So satisfying. So satisfying.
Can we get some pictures of these?
Yeah.
That'd be sick. I'll go in and
use it as our social post for this episode. I'll go get some.
Sick.
Yeah. But.
Well.
There you go.
There you have it.
There you go.
Have you guys played Tears of the Kingdom after you beat it? How many hours have you put into it? What do you think about everything we discussed? Please let us know. All of our social media links will be in the description, especially Discord.
And I want to plug our Patreon. If you are a Kingdom Hearts fan, we are going to record a Patreon episode right now.
Right now.
About Kingdom Hearts. And so, if you'd like to join Joshua, Tyler, and Grandpappy in being our loyal down-to-earth cockatiels and supporting us through Patreon, there's lots of episodes there for you to enjoy. But if you're not interested, that's totally okay. We hope you continue to listen to us and continue enjoying this banger content that we're putting out, because in just a little bit, you're getting Game of the Year. And our Game of the Year episodes...
big episodes coming.
They go off.
Yep.
Still, to this day,
yep,
our Game of the Year episode from last year is my favorite bit of content that we've produced.
It's
easily
one of my favorites. They are definitely the most popular, for sure. And if you want like a way to like give a little bit of extra support to us, but you don't really have the money, which I totally get, one of the best things you can do is just tell like a friend
straight up
about us. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is a cool podcast.
I will say, we look at our analytics pretty closely. We don't see who listens to us, but we can see how many people are playing. And when we have episodes that have that spike, like, it makes us really, really excited. So yeah.
But
it doesn't go unnoticed.
Yes.
We see you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.